He's our rescuer, a friend, a redeemer. He was there in our darkest moments. He didn't make a person he didn't love. He loves us and he likes us.
At MyBridge, we help connect people to God, to the hope he gives, to his work around us, and to his word. That's why when we met Activate Global, a team whose mission is about getting the gospel into the hands of unreached people groups, we knew it was a match made in heaven. Co-founder of Activate Global, My Bridge to the Nations, Jessica Hutz, joins us today to share about how God first captured her heart, what it looked like then and continues to look like now to build a daily rhythm of spending time with God, and why it's so important to be in his word. We hope you enjoyed this conversation with Jessica Hutz.
Well, Jessica, welcome back to the Morning Conversation today.
I love being here.
Well, we love having you as well. So one thing that we're excited about here at MyBridge Radio, we're encouraging, challenging, inspiring, hopefully, all in the MyBridge Radio family who haven't done this yet to build the habit of daily time with God in his word. We're calling it Daily 20 in 23. 2023, kind of catchy, right?
Daily 20 in 23. Got it. Clever.
So 20 minutes every day in 23. But I don't know if you can bring us all the way back to the beginning, like when you very, very first started. What got you started spending that time with God on a regular basis?
I remember being in middle school loving the word, but it wasn't a consistent part of my life. Now, when I was in college, I had a pretty radical surrender where literally relinquished control of my life, received the gift of the gospel, and my life was shifted. And at first, my daily reading was a pure hunger. Like, I was like, I need to know more of this Jesus that just picked me up out of this pit and like placed me on solid ground. Like literally, God totally saw me. And not despite what I had done, was like, I've chose you anyway. And not because of you being enough, you know, and that just moved me. And so I just like this love, this hunger for the word. And that was kind of where it started for me. Now, that's not always been, you know, every day since, but that started. I just appreciate the grace of God to, you know, put the Holy Spirit in me to create that hunger that created some initial habits. So that's kind of where it all started for me. It was just this desperate desire.
That's so good. A phrase I was kind of thinking about as you were sharing there, Jessica, is that which was done instinctively on the front end has to be done intentionally after you get married. I had the same experience as you. Like, I came to know Jesus and like this love was just amazing that I was experiencing from him. And I knew I didn't know anything. Like, I'm like, I am ignorant other than the basics of the gospel that was that changed my life. But now I had a lot of things to know about this God who I was now following. Got into God's word very instinctively, like out of that passion, right? But that doesn't carry you through all the way through. What's helped you along the way to turn instinctive to intentional?
You know, it almost is subtle. You know, you're articulating something so clearly that I felt that I didn't know to articulate.
Absolutely.
And I was showing up every day with the Lord because out of just pure relationship, you know, and I think at some point I think there's a danger in a certain degree of understanding of even scripture in the story. Like, we think at a certain place, I was like, I think I've got it. I don't know. And it stopped being like this imminent need. Like, I need to know this. I know nothing. I'm so excited. Yes. Right. And more of that emotional response instinctively to God, I trust you and your word is truth. And I need a North Star. Like, I need a compass. I need a grounding. Something I say now, as I've continued to walk with the Lord, is the more that I know, the less that I know. I'm like, I've learned, you know, the broader storyline of scripture, done some more deep study, like all these different varieties and variations. And I think what's kept the word so alive to me is just the Lord's my friend. He's a father, but he's a friend. And I want to be with him because he wants to be with me. And I think at some point it shifted in me when I started, unfortunately, viewing it like God was, you know, up there just looking down at me with a magnifying glass going, are you checking in? Like, you know, and it felt a little bit like doom and gloom, like, oh, is she going to do the right thing or not? You know, and I started viewing the Father like a friend, like I'm so willing and available and accessible through my word that you have in your language that you understand, or maybe even one that you prefer. So sit with me and enjoy time with me. And so I think a part of my transition was honestly the way I viewed God and the way that I viewed that time as being a gift and a blessing and his wanting to be with me as well. And then there was some practical stuff, right? Like, how do I do this? Like, when you get through some of those initial times, it became more even a practical end for me of things I needed to put in place so that when I was sitting down, I wasn't thinking as much about what to read or how to read, but then I could focus on the relationship that was being cultivated, what the Lord was really saying to me through his word. But having some of those things nailed down really helped me to less focus on the details and then focus on where God was at in it, waiting on him and letting the Spirit bring the word alive. So a few different angles.
Yeah. You know, I remember just kind of walking through a season in my own life where I was just kind of processing, like, what's the motivation to spend time with God outside of just pure discipline, right? So a lot of times, I think Christians that I talk to and hear, they make it a pure discipline issue, which to me isn't the issue necessarily, right? That's about, you know, am I strong enough? Am I disciplined enough? I don't want to demonize discipline because that's a good thing as well. But
yeah,
what are the motivations outside of just pure disciplines that lead me to more naturally spend time and want to spend time with God? And the thing that came down to me was one of two, and a mixture of two things. And we've already talked about those this morning, really. One is love, right?
Yeah.
And the other one is need, right? Having a hard time spending time with God on a regular basis. We have to look at those two things and go, okay, how's my love? Let's talk about love first, because come on now, like, you got that boy or that girl that you like are in love with. You don't have to discipline yourself to spend time with that person, right? You look forward to it. You rearrange. You need to rearrange to make it happen. Like, you know, spouses, best friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, fiancés, whatever. We make the time and we make it work. And we don't say it's a discipline, right? We say it's this love relationship. So what throws us off that part?
That's profound, because we kind of start approaching God or something like he like needs us to do something. And I think that we like view God differently than, obviously, we're never great at completely aligning our thoughts to who God is, right? Like, because he's so magnificent, so far beyond. But like you said, the Lord has rescued us. He's our rescuer, a friend, a redeemer. He was there in our darkest moments, whether we acknowledged him in our seeing him in our pain. Like, he has been our closest friend and companion forever. Like, he breathed us into existence. Like, it says that I have knit you together in your mother's womb. And like, it's just like, his affections all over us. I think I heard a pastor say once, like, he didn't make a person he didn't love. And it's like, if our view of God is right, therefore he made us because he intended to, because he just wanted to. Like, he didn't need to. He just wanted to. He said he loves us and he likes us. Somebody said that to me once and I was like, what? I've never thought about that. Like, he loves you, but he also likes you. He really created something that he loves. And that's the friend and the father that we have in him. And it's like, so when we come to him, it's like we can be expectant. We can pour our hearts out. Even Stan, last week, I was just pouring my heart out to God, just a broken state of surrender, really. Like, and I was like, I needed to quit acting like approaching him, like I needed to have it all together in my quiet time. And instead of just even, you know, doing my regular routine, I just was like, Father, like, this is what I'm feeling and this is what's going on. And it's like, as if he didn't already know, right? But still, there was that connection that he, I think we sometimes start viewing God like we view ourselves, which isn't good. Instead of viewing our God like who he is. And so we get afraid, right? We get afraid to come to him, or we're thinking he's going to be mad at us since we haven't read our Bible for a week or 2 months or a year or something. Then we're afraid to approach him. Like, there's this shame that like creates a chasm, and there's just not shame in him. In the gospel, it's eliminated. He has this affection for us. It's drawing us to him. I think if we truly knew and spent more time thinking about who God God is, we would be running to him mm-hmm. in the morning. We would be running to him in our time set apart to commune with him uniquely in that specific way through the word and mm-hmm. through set apart time. We wouldn't be hesitating. We wouldn't be dragging our feet a little bit or feeling a sense of shame around it. We would feel an anticipation because he loves us, but he also likes us.
God is always at work among us.
Heidi and Carney grew up with a foundation of faith, but in young adulthood, some of the people around her who professed Christianity weren't living like it. So if that was what Christianity was, Heidi didn't want anything to do with it.
I kind of turned my back from the Lord for a while.
But Heidi remained spiritually concerned.
Even when I had my back turned from the Lord, I had never lost the part of me that feared the Lord, who knew there was a God bigger than me.
After hard conversations with people who did live out their Christian faith, Heidi felt a conviction that she was basing her decision of whether or not to give Jesus her life on how people were falling short, not on who Jesus was.
I had made a habit of blaming Christians for the things that I felt were coming up short. I needed to let Jesus represent himself.
Looking at who Jesus was, Heidi made a decision to follow him. She repented of her sin and started walking with Jesus in an expression of saving faith. God moves in our hearts when we take the time to know him. Get to know Jesus this year by spending daily time in his word, daily 20 and 23, as you read through the Gospels. Find the plan and helpful resources to spend daily time with Jesus on mybridgeradio.net. God is doing something
right now. My Bridge Radio, celebrating God at work among us. Share your story and join the conversation in the Connect Now section at mybridgeradio.net.
You know, you talked about how you kind of poured out your heart to God and you're like, well, he already knew that. But, you know, I thought about that a number of years ago. I was kind of chewing on that whole reality of like, why do I need to talk to God about or tell God about stuff that he already knows? That would be like, okay, if I had access to your journal, right? So, and you were pouring your heart out and I could read it, that's a different experience. So then I just knew stuff about you that you never told me. We never interacted around it, but I knew it. I knew all the things that you would have told me. That's a different experience than you and I talking about it. You and I interacting relationally about it. I mean, that, yes. that kind of unlocked something for me of going, okay, it's not about just God knowing. It's about God engaging and me engaging God wow. in the things that, yes, he knows it, but that's a different experience with God, right?
Absolutely, Stan, because we just, like you're talking about the relationship, like a spouse or a good friend, it's like it's a two-way right. street, right? It's an interaction. It's mm-hmm. not just a blah, like a one-way communication. Mm-hmm. It's actually a two-way dynamic communication, absolutely. Which adds value, which shows I'm seen by you, you're seen by me. There's this vulnerability, this intimacy that happens through the exchange of the two-way. And we come to God like, are we waiting on him to have that two-way communication? And his word is his word, mm-hmm. you know, like it is his words to us. And he highlights things and prompts things, stirs things that we so clearly see through his word, that his two-way. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we sometimes forget that, you know, that it's not exactly what you're saying, because that two-way creates a dynamic of a relationship that, can you imagine if you're in a relationship, only one person ever right. talks?
Talking,
like,
yeah.
like, yeah, there's not
some
much
relationships
there.
Like friendships like that, actually. But, yeah. So let's talk about the need side, right? So love draws us naturally to God, but then also need does. And so one of the things that, this thought hit me a number of years ago, it just keeps coming back to me. Because again, a lot of times we think to ourselves and maybe out loud to other people, well, I'm just not disciplined. I'm not strong enough spiritually to get that spiritual time with God on a regular basis. I go, what I've realized is, no, the issue isn't that you're not strong enough. The issue is that you're not weak enough.
Mm.
Yeah, you have not recognized your need of God and have that naturally draw you to him on a daily basis, right? So the more we recognize that we need him, we need his power, we need his grace. We need his forgiveness. We need his love. We need his wisdom. We need his truth. We need his comfort. Like,
yeah,
we need his presence. We need his power. Like, the more recognized we need him, we go to him, right? So living a day, going into my day without spending time with God, and I'm pointing the finger at me, right? So is to declare, I got today handled, right? Don't necessarily need you today.
Man, that's so true, because I think we're living in a society that would err on the side of humanism, right? Like, we're here for the best human experience. Like, you don't have any need. You're sufficient in and of yourself. You have, you know, you can... Everything's in our own, and it's for our own good. So when we think that, oh, we don't need anything, like everything in you is sufficient. And I think as a Christian, we recognize, like, I don't have everything. God's word said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will see God. Like, the people who are broken and humble in heart, who recognize that me in and of myself actually isn't enough. And that's not the problem. That's like the answer, like, that's the gospel that positions us to come to the Father, because he's so sufficient. He knew it was within our best interest to be close to him, because he is the life giver. He has unending access to everything. And so he's like, hey, like, you know, whether it's hope that we need in a season, or perspective, or wisdom, like you said, or joy. How do I access your joy when everything around me just feels really dark? Like, all of these things. And I think we can wrongly, you know, we can avoid God. We're like, I don't want to just be coming to you with my needs. And it's like, no, I need you for everything. Literally, I think that we refuse to acknowledge, like, even my brother-in-law, Joey, he talks about how he's like, I look at my hand and I just think, why is my finger moving when I want it to? Like, that's a God. Like, he so uniquely designed us that even if we refuse to acknowledge our need, we still need him. Mm-hmm. Like, the need is so deep. Mm-hmm. So when we even start to acknowledge it and it draws us to him, there's this intimacy that comes from that need.
You know what you call a being that doesn't have any needs?
God.
God, yes. God. And we're not God, right? But we're not God. Like, the only God is complete in himself. Only God is perfect and has no need. So get over it, people. we are needy people. Like, we, and that's because we're not God, and we never will be. So we'll always have needs, right? Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So Jessica, you serve with Activate Global, MyBridge to the Nations. You are daily very aware of what life is like for those who live in areas of the world that are unreached with the gospel, that they don't have the word of God accessible to them like we do. So what's that like to either not have access to the word of God in your own language, or you don't have the education to even read a Bible if it was available?
Yeah. Wow. This plucks a few heartstrings for me, Stan, because there are today 3,617 languages that are in need of Bible translation.
Wow.
Throw a few numbers at you. 125 million people who don't have a single word of scripture in their language. And this gets a little deeper before we start to see light break forth. There are, like, many deaf people in the word. The word says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The deaf community is significantly unreached, because they're not, they wouldn't say they have a disability. They would just say, I don't speak the same language as you. But scripture is so unavailable to our deaf brothers and sisters around the world. Less than 2% of them know God, and 90% struggle to read written language. And so the gravity of the accessibility of scripture to some and the inaccessibility to so many is really daunting. So it is, it's a challenge. I was just in South Asia a few months ago, when we were out in the different villages and going from home to home, and these different house churches that have been started. We've gone from one home church fueled by an Activate Kingdom business 7 years ago to now over 100 just through that one kingdom business 7 years ago. So we're visiting some of the 100 and village to village to village. We're going into these home churches and we're, you know, just scanning the room. We're asking the leaders, are people here literate? Some, right? So the ones who are standing up, reading scripture to others, and they're just so hungry. They're saying the Lord's Prayer and they're memorizing scripture in their home fellowships because they don't have the knowledge and skills needed to even know the scripture that they do have, the New Testament in their language in this area. And they don't have the practical ability. So they're teaching them oral Bible story lessons, and they're reciting it out loud together. And one person in the home that's able to read, reading it so that everyone can understand. And that's not a control thing. Like it maybe used to be in church history. It's a simple, like it's a lack of education thing. And those who have it are to steward that, which is God has given them that sweet privilege to read. Stan, I'm not kidding you. We were in Brindy's house fellowship, sweet leader in this area. They have, I mean, I'm not saying nothing, but they have very, very little. They have a brick home with a dirt floor, two rooms. They're packed full of people who have stories of Jesus just standing up one after the other, telling their testimony of how they come to know the Lord. A resounding theme in this family is one, they have this Bible. It is a treasured possession to them. They are like, this is our lifeline. And they read it to everyone that they can. They read it in their home. They have very few. I mean, literally maybe less than 100 physical little possessions in their home. And this Bible, and we just sat there in this room, so humbled by their hospitality to us. And we were like, this is why the word is so transforming this place, because they have that level of need, going back to our conversation on need, because they have so little outside of that. And the word is, it's so sufficient, and they just feel God's presence in it, powerful. We go into these stories and these testimonies, people standing up, stand so many of these testimonies were people talking about, I felt a burden and I heard someone share that Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. How did they know to say that? It's in his word. It's in the New Testament, right? Where Jesus is saying, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And they said, I need that. So they come to them and they're like, Jesus can take my burden. And they literally, one by one, it was like a theme in this area. So strange. Like there was a minimum of five people had the same testimony that we had, just the ones we had heard from, who responded to that portion of scripture though, and became a follower of Jesus because they wanted Jesus to take their burdens, and he did.
Wow.
Powerful. But it's so needed around the world today, and it's not accessible to many people in the world.
Listen for the difference, helping keep you connected to God and each other through life-giving messages, stories, and songs shared all day long on MyBridge Radio.
Jessica, it's interesting this morning to be able to engage you who you are engaged with, people who don't know Jesus, didn't have access to the Bible, get the access to the Bible through God's grace and the faithfulness of his people to reach out to the unreached, like Activate Global. Share with us another story from the field about someone getting access to the gospel. And because we talked about you and I, like when we first came to know Jesus, man, we had this hunger for the word. So kind of share a story from another place in the world where that same dynamic took place, where there was like this hunger and wanting to read the Bible after coming to know Jesus.
My mind is going to a story that I have to tell. So a lifetime missionary moved to this part of Africa, an unreached country in Africa. So in the Sahel, North Africa region, they spend their whole life translating the Bible in this one language, and we're serving God to reach this one people group. They're a Tuareg people group out in the Sahara. So imagine turban wearing, camel herding folks. Okay. So they go out there, spend their lifetime translating the Bible to their language so they could have access to scripture. But according to, you know, what we've heard of this story, they didn't see even one person in their career as a missionary come to faith among this people group, but they finished the New Testament translation in this language. And then a few years ago, 4 years ago, we partnered with our friends at City for the Nations. We send frontier missionaries that are near culture missionaries, so a bit more accepted. And God used that. Now, since then, this is a crazy story and I don't have time to tell it all. Gospel sparks a movement among this people group. And they were all of a sudden, right? They had a need and a desire and a hunger for God's word, because they're like, this gospel's true. They responded to it in faith. And this hunger rises up in them to understand more about this God. They're calling it the new way in the desert. And this Bible was done and ready for them, even printed and accessible locally because of the faithfulness and the stewardship of a calling a generation before.
Wow.
We were, you know, seeing these, but the language is so interesting looking, and you're reading this and you're just like, that is a crazy Bible. And like, that is what God is using. Now, I was sitting with a woman from this people group who is illiterate. She's not able to read. And she just sat with me going, I want to read more of the word. Like my one desire, will you please pray for me that God would miraculously miraculously give me the ability to read. And I was like, yes, I can believe God with that for you. But you can see like her desperation, her desire to understand and know the word of God, because she's like, this Jesus is transforming. I want to know more about him. Like, I want to know how he would, what he would say about this or that. And again, they're sharing Jesus' stories and it's multiplying out. But it's this simple desire, and that Bible was ready for them. It was a God's timing, God's provision, this people group in this time in history. And that just blew my mind, because they were so ready for that scripture that God had prepared for them in advance.
Well, that's awesome. So good. So Jessica, we were talking earlier this morning about our spiritual focus for 2023 on MyBridge Radio, daily 20 and 23, right? 20 minutes every day in the year 23. One of the things that we found over the years is having a plan always works the best. Otherwise, every day you're kind of trying to figure out where you want to read, and it just discourages over time. We're going to do something different. We've been talking for years about the one-year Bible, which is awesome. But this year, we're going to encourage all of us to read through the Gospels, just focusing on Jesus, right? So there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And if you read for about 20 minutes a day, about three chapters a day, you get through all four Gospels in a month.
One of our field partners, they said, if we don't have a plan for making disciples, we're probably not planning on making disciples, right? And that kind of caught with me, and I've applied to that when you said that. If we don't have a plan for reading, we may not be planning to actually read.
Yes.
So I love that you're helping us. You're helping us to have a plan. I just think that plans diffuse some of the intensity or intimidation. We'll say intimidation. The plan diffuses the intimidation so that we can approach it, and we already have the plan.
Right.
So then we can open up the word and wait on the Lord and engage the word and engage the spirit through the word. And then we recap it, and then we move and we flow with him. So I love that you're giving us a plan, and the focus on the life of Christ is wow. I think that plan that you just shared, one, is really cool. I didn't know that you could 20 minutes a day get you through all four Gospels in a month. I love that, because all of the Gospels, you know, just different perspectives on the life of Jesus, like different people had a different experience and perspective really on what was happening at that time. And so I think they're all really unique and just like looking at them. But I think that is really cool that we can get through all four in a month in 20 minutes a day. Like, that's really doable. Yeah. You know, we make a lot of time for a lot of things. Like, that seems really doable. The life of Christ, and zooming in on that, it's like, whoa, you're calling us, Dan, from what I'm hearing you say, you're calling us to almost a slowing down. Instead of focusing on, I got to get through this whole storyline of scripture and a lot of these big concepts and chew on these kind of things that I'm like, what? Which is really good, right? We need that full picture. It's like, you're calling us to slow down and marinate on the life of Jesus. And it's like, I'm expectant. I want to do this. I'm like, I'm expectant that God is going to move in each person doing this to really transform us to our lives to look more and reflect more on the life of Christ. That's inspiring.
Yeah. Super excited about it. I actually have taken this, started in, I think at the end of November, kind of doing it myself, just to kind of have an initial experience, and it's been rich. So I'm excited that for 2023 and our spiritual focus, and thanks for spending some time with us today, and always enjoy our conversations, and we are going to have you on again.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It was fun to engage around God's word.
Wherever you are right now, start today. We invite you to get into God's word and see how it starts to transform your life. There's no greater love story than the one that God has written to us, his most beloved children. I love what Jessica said. He loves you and he likes you. He wants to spend time with you. If you have questions about how to get started, we've got several resources on our website. We'll link to them in the episode notes. Maybe someone is coming to mind as you listened to this episode. Would you reach out to them today and share this? Just let them know how much God loves them. We're so grateful for you. Thanks for being here today. To hear more from MyBridge, tune into your local MyBridge radio station, listen online with our app, at home through your smart speaker, or at mybridgeradio.net. We'll see you next time.